You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number
162. Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That teaser was a clip from a New Age piano piece called Run by Aaron Starks. I think you'll enjoy his music, so stay tuned for the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. My main topic today is Starfish Retention Solutions. Starfish is now owned by Hobson's, and I'll be interviewing Howard Bell, who's the Senior Vice President of Higher Education Student Success and the General Manager of Starfish at Hobson's. Now, I interviewed the former CEO of Starfish, David Yaskin, back in March 2012, but a lot has happened since then. In the interest of full disclosure, we do use Starfish here at University of the Sciences. So we discussed the Starfish Enterprise Success Platform, which includes several modules, Early Alert, Connect, and the new Degree Planner. We talk about how it helps to scale student support initiatives around campus, how it interfaces with the LMS and the SIS, how it works in terms of automatic flagging and progress surveys, their predictive analytics framework, which is new, and also the newest module, which is their Degree Planner. So without further ado, here's my interview with Howard Bell. So Howard, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me for a little while today. I'm interested to hear what's going on with Starfish. But before we get into the weeds, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Starfish?
Sure. So I've been at Starfish now for about 14 months. I joined Hobson's right in the beginning of Thanksgiving of last year. So I think I worked for a week and then went right to vacation. But I have certainly enjoyed the opportunity to join the team. Previously to being at Hobson's, I worked in higher ed for about 20 years. I started actually at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan, where I got involved in both the development of a research and technology park called Tech Town, or the Wayne State University Research and Technology Park, as well as being an adjunct professor of entrepreneurship in the business school, and then gravitated from there into working at a few different companies, including Scholastic, Kaplan, and then Study Group before moving to Hobson. So I've had quite a bit of exposure to higher ed from various angles, including working within the setting, to working with organizations, looking at it from, you know, test prep to actual tools to be used in the classroom, to international recruitment, and now with focus solely on student success. So I've had quite the fun ride in this space.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I forget, when did Hobson's purchase Starfish, or is it a merger? How did that work?
Yeah, so there's actually two successive partnerships that were formed. So it was the acquisition of Starfish about 2.5 years ago, and then the acquisition of the PAR, or the Predictive Analytics Framework, which was about 1.5 years ago. So the two have then come into Hobson's to create this new comprehensive solution that we now call Starfish, which combines both student success initiatives and attributes and features, as well as now the analytics that came from the PAR framework that we think now gives us a great and comprehensive solution for helping schools and students.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I want to get back to that, but just to give my audience a little bit of background, and as you know, of course, my institution has been a Starfish customer for a number of years, and just to sort of put it into a nutshell, let me tell you our audience, how I look at Starfish, and then you can correct me. I know there are several modules, and we'll talk about each one, I think. The module that we're currently using is the Early Alert module. And for those in my audience who don't know about this, it helps to take data from our student information system and Blackboard and puts it into a system which allows our faculty and advisors to, in a way, keep tabs on all their students. There's some automatic flags that get raised in Blackboard. And other than that, there's a way for the faculty to flag students for different issues, attendance and other social behavioral issues. So first of all, is that how you would describe Early Alert? And then maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the other modules.
Wow. So you did a very good job of describing Early Alert. You know, we see it as an opportunity to broaden the bandwidth of our advisors, which I think I'm sure you're all aware are somewhere in the vicinity of usually 500-1 to even some that are in the thousands to one. And so by allowing the system to provide alerts to students at times when we know they are hitting moments of crisis, it allows the advisor to better utilize their time and focus, as well as by providing those alerts to students. And sometimes it becomes a self-serving type of prophecy where they are able to actually take care of the issue themselves. And so also thereby providing, you know, more efficiencies on campus in terms of students who are at risk. So the other features, though, wow, you are, it's come a long way, put it nicely. So if you think about the idea of Early Alert, then you should probably then connect it right to this idea that there are then quite a bit of resources on a campus to or within a school structure, because some of them are online, to help students when they are at risk. And the big thing is to be able to connect those resources to the students at the right time. And so we have this idea of connect or connection, where we allow the student success network of whatever those resources may be. It could be resources for veterans or students with disabilities or a student who just needs tutoring, for example. And so the idea is to make sure that we make strong connections with those resources to students. So there's this idea of connectivity. The other thing, though, and this is when you think about this idea of analytics, is not only do you want to be able to provide the alerts and you want to be able to provide the connections, but you want to actually be proactive in this exercise. And so the analytics allows you to go back and look at how a school has been operating, say, for the last 8 years. And by using that information, you get to understand which students on your campus are at risk as opposed to the overall general population, and what courses they're actually having the most problems with. What courses are we having high failure rates? Are we having high withdrawal rates? Or frankly, you're having courses that are causing students to stop out of the school altogether. And once you understand the uniqueness of those elements, you are then able to say when the existing students are actually about to enroll in a particular class, or they have a certain major and they're going to encounter a certain elective, you may be able to proactively provide resources to that student to say, hey, you know, before you actually encounter this class, we want you to interface with this particular resource that will ensure that you have a more successful experience with that class at that time. And they're basically just reducing the number of instances where students have a crisis. And also by doing it proactively, you actually then give the advisors, again, more time to spend with students who have issues that require their face-to-face interaction, as opposed to just really being proactive and connecting with that ahead of time.
That's very interesting. So this is something that I don't know much about. I'm glad to learn about it. And that's one reason why we have to reconnect every couple of years. So this is an outgrowth of this predictive analytics framework. Now, let me understand that. Does that add capabilities to Early Alert, or is this a separate module that you add on? How does that work?
So it does a little bit of all the above, right? And so, you know, if you think about it from the standpoint of what the analytics can do, is it then allows you to actually give students a risk score. And that risk score can be tied right to the Early Alert and connecting activity that we were talking about previously. And so if you know a student has certain characteristics, as you were talking about when you were describing it, and they're experiencing certain behaviors, absenteeism, failed tests, you know, a plethora of different types of things, low GPA, that could then be predictive in saying, okay, we see those students having those type of characteristics and behaviors, and we're able to then proactively alert by putting automated alerts in the system, be able to say that when these particular students whose characteristics we know are about to encounter the following courses or are having or exhibiting the following behaviors, the system will automatically develop those alerts. But now they're tied to an analytical model that says those are the students that you should be tracking. Because what you previously did is you did the early alert model based a lot on the instincts, which not to say they weren't accurate, but a lot of the instincts of the advisors in terms of what are some of the obvious things you should be looking at. But now with the analytics, now your alerts can be tied to actually a more data-supported understanding of what your students are going through on your campus and being, you know, more proactive and prescriptive in what you're doing.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If I recall, and I may have this wrong, but when we signed up and we did the signed up for early alerts, and it's certainly integrated to the LMS, but I don't know that we have, other than the population of, you know, the relationships, I don't know that it digs into the content, demographic content and information about the student in the SIS. So is that something that is important to the predictive analytics? Is there data that's pulled out of the SIS that is not in the LMS that helps with the analytics?
Great question. And so it has changed significantly since the early days when it was much more of an LMS model system. And so that analytical data that goes back, you know, 10 years will absolutely be looking at the student information system to get that type of demographic information and course performance information. And then also then using the LMS to get what I would call more of the more recent information that's happening on a daily basis with that student as well. And combining the two is what we use to be able to be more prescriptive and proactive in what we then prescribe for students.
So the other module, which is listed separately, the early alert, is also Connect, which, again, my recollection is this facilitates creating appointments between the student and their advisor. Is there anything else new that we should know about that?
So the early alert and Connect, as you said, so Connect also provides the ability to do, you know, the whole idea of helping students both through the advisor directly reaching out to them, but also through the student actually raising their hand literally in the system and saying, I want to have an appointment with an advisor, being able to create those type of appointments. But those appointments go broader than just the advisor. I mean, the real power, I think, of Starfish was that it then said, hey, look, this isn't just simply about the advisor, but there are various points of contact for students throughout a campus, whether it be in the bursar's office or the registrar's office or the financial aid office or student affairs. And what the system now allows you to do is to then proactively connect those students to that particular department, but also in doing so, enter that information in the system when that person meets or that alert is generated, having that information in the system. And so when you go to the bursar's office and you have an issue with your bill, that representative is able to pull up your name in the system, see the information referencing you, understand what the issue is. And then if they have to send you to the financial aid office, the system, the student doesn't have to go to the next department and explain the whole situation over again, because it's all centrally located in one place and becomes very student-centric in terms of a student ensuring that the resources necessary for that student are happening all over campus. And that's the real power, I think, of the system, is it going beyond just the advisor to all those departments across the university.
Well, that's great. Gosh, I wish my family doctor had something like that. it's like every time you go to a doctor, they ask you the same thing over and over again.
And take your temperature every time, right?
That's right. I notice you also have something called Degree Planner. How does that fit in?
Right.
What is that? A new product? That's a new product, I guess.
It is. And so the way I like to explain what's really happened with Starfish is we have moved towards this idea that we provide guided pathways for students. And so that, I think, as you know, is a very new, not super new, but new approach to how we handle student success on campuses. And that includes a variety of things that need to happen throughout the student's life cycle on campus, from the early stage of helping that student identify and understand what careers are available to them, what they pay in terms of, you know, compensation, where those jobs are located, what's the likelihood that they'll be around for the next 5 years, and what skills do you currently have today, and therefore what's the gap between your current skill set and what you need to attain those particular careers.
Right.
From there, you map that into programs at the school you're looking to attend, and that because those programs are the programs that people with those careers typically attain in order to become successful, then you have to come on campus with that particular program in mind and create what I like to call as an academic plan, which in essence is what courses you're going to take over the next 2 to 4 years in order to attain the particular credential that you're looking to attain. Our product or feature called Degree Planner is exactly that. It allows a student to crosswalk over, send over their particular career choices. We will help them map those career choices to programs that are available at the school, and then the student can go in and then actually program out the types of classes they want to take to deal with the schedule that they may have. And it's really important that, you know, the tool allows you to do that in the context of what your life is going to allow you to do, because as you know, today's students are much different than, you know, when I went to school. And so the demographic has changed. The number of students who are working full time is significantly higher. Some of them have families. And so being able to have a degree plan that allows you to carve out an academic plan that will allow you to have a work-life balance, if you will, is what this tool then does. And you can either, depending on who the school is, you can either allow that student to take that plan, ask for approval from you, and then you go to the advisor's office where you look through that plan together and they approve it. Some schools say, oh, nope, once they select it, just go ahead and auto-approve it. Some schools want you to actually register that plan into their SIS right away, and we're able to do that as well based on the availability. So that's what that now does.
Very interesting. You know, you're absolutely right. The so-called non-traditional student is becoming the rule these days. I mean, you know, the students, you know, we work with students from all walks of life, you know, returning students, adult students, military students, and so on.
That's right.
It almost seems like the degree planner could be a separate tool even before you pick a college. Is that something that that's being planned? It seems like that would be valuable.
You know, it's an interesting question. And so we've had that come up with multiple schools. So our plan now allows you to, it's not just degree planner. We also have something that we call careers. And our career platform allows you to select careers based on the information we were talking about. The question is whether or not the school wants that to be a resource they provide to the student prior to enrollment or before. And that's just a question I think that each model of the school in terms of who you want to be as a school decisions have made. Some schools want to be able to present it very early. Some want to wait till you're actually enrolled. And, you know, because most of them want to make sure you crosswalk those career choices to the programs they offer at their school. So that's why we have a variety of questions on how we want to do that. But, you know, we're flexible in that. And so that's what schools have liked is that we'll actually do that, you know, however they like it configured.
One thing I noted on your site was the fact that you can integrate. We already know you can integrate with the LMS and the SIS, but there are other systems that typical, you know, campuses have. For example, there are different analytics systems that schools may already be using. Is that something you can also integrate with? Something like, Blackboard Analytics, and there are certainly others.
So this is what we try to do. We try to create a framework that says, look, we'll support the following features of student success. So career exploration, program identification, academic planning, early alert, connect, analytics foundation, and then create an API structure so that anyone else who wants to integrate with our system is able to do that flexibly. Because honestly, you know, we don't know where this is headed. All we want to do is make sure that, you know, we can stay a partner in all the new innovative techniques and ideas that I think will be generated from folks over the years. And so trying to stay open in our approach has been a very, I think, strong part of what we do. We provide our clients or school partners with the ability to access the data and pull it out of our system at any time and use it in any way they want. Our analytics platform, actually, the work that was done by PAR Framework is actually publicly available. If people want to see you know, what attributes we use to actually track and detail out our analytical data. You can see that on the internet because, you know, we just believe that it's not really about creating a closed system as much as it creating a foundational structure and then letting people interact with it as they see fit.
Once some issues are discovered about our students and we want to head them in the right direction and, you know, back to their advisor, but how about linking them up with resources? You say resources, but are there any automated resources out there? And maybe I'll just suggest one, because a couple of months ago in my podcast, I interviewed the founder of something called StudyTree, which was very interesting in that what they try to do is create a sort of a social network of students at a school and attempt to allow them to pair up and join study groups, for example. And they know their things that they're good in and things that they need some brushing up for, and that they can match them. It'd be interesting to see if there's some way to you know, direct students to very sort of granular study tools, whether that be you know, a tutor in an area or some automated program like that. And any thoughts in going in that direction?
We are certainly interested in talking to people who are being innovative in the space. And so this idea of social networks of students is certain. We would certainly, if there's data within that construct that would be helpful to students either in their staying room, because here's the big thing for us is we want students to stay both highly resourced proactively, but we also want them to stay engaged with the school. And so if it helps with student engagement by having being a part of these student networks, we know that the stickiness and retention of students in school is often tied to how much they feel connected to the particular school and the students. So these social networks could be a great way of doing that. We've also, you know, dealt with this idea of nudging and this whole idea that, you know, you want to be able to, in an automated fashion, nudge a student through text or through other communication channels at the right time to let them know about resources that are available to them and do that in an automated fashion. So we're not always just sort of talking to students all the time with a live person. And interesting enough, there is some data out there that says that students actually, in some instances, depending on the subject matter, would prefer to actually not speak to a live person, which has been pretty interesting in terms of, you know, the ability to be able to bring that in. So again, the idea of, you know, tools that are automated versus things that are live, we want to be able to integrate with all of them and use the data that results from that to be able to inform the school as to the effectiveness of the resource in moving the students forward. And if we find it being effective, obviously continue to build on that. And if we find that it's not so effective, then tweak or eliminate it as the school sees fit. So it's more about trying things and then, you know, analyzing them and then deciding what to do next more than anything else as they go through this plan of student success.
One issue, of course, that's facing many institutions these days is the changing student demographics and dropping enrollment. There's fewer students graduating from high school. It certainly puts pressure on institutions that are tuition dependent. So we're looking at saving pennies wherever we can. So what would you say, how would you measure the return on investment, the ROI of using a product like yours?
Right. And so, you know, I think this is an interesting question. The ROI happens in so many different ways, and I always caution folks to think about it from a variety of perspectives. The ultimate ROI is the one I think that everyone pays attention to, which is this idea of retention. And it's pretty, you know, clear on its face. If a student stays in your university, then, you know, they pay additional tuition. And, you know, if you see a 1 or 2% increase in school, depending on the size of your school, it can be millions of dollars in terms of return to your school just by investing $50,000 to $100,000 in a tool. And so I think, you know, ultimately the return on investment from there is pretty clear. But there are other things to keep in mind. You know, as you said, you're talking about this changing demographic and you're talking about the different students who are coming to school and they have different needs. You know, as these students nowadays are more and more informed on the decisions they're making, and certainly our data-rich, information-based society helps them with that. brand of a university is as important as anything else. And if your reputation is a school that retains students, that helps them attain the types of degrees or credentials that they're looking to get, and they're able to then take those same degrees or credentials and turn those into the careers that they were looking to attain and be able to provide, you know, the types of resources they need for their family, then that return on investment is exponentially higher, both for the student and for the state. You know, we've talked to a lot of state schools that are very interested in this model of, hey, look, the government invests in our school with this idea that we're going to keep the people in our state, we're going to retain these best minds, and we're going to then attract companies to our state from places all around the world, give them the talent that they need in order to be prosperous. They'll generate tax revenue, and the whole system works for the entire ecosystem of that state. And so the ROI is so much greater than just the retention that I think people should always keep their eye on the idea of brand, customer satisfaction, and then the really big economic investment and return to the state itself, if not the country, depending on how you want to look at it.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing that occurs to me in terms of the, not just the cost of the software, but the time value of the advisors and, you know, the faculty advisors. And so, and again, I'm sort of thinking out loud here, but they should become much more efficient in working with the students with these tools. On the other hand, some of the faculty, I think, and maybe it just goes to the quality of the faculty, are maybe annoyed. You know, they get these, progress surveys. They when they're used to just calling up somebody or, you know, so I wonder how you balance that. What has your experience been on the satisfaction of the users of the system?
So, you know, talking about faculty for a second is sort of interesting, right? I mean, you know, the whole way the faculty approach universities and student success has changed over time. I think when I was in school, you know, it was all about the prestigious faculty member and, you know, making sure that they were published and presenting at all the key conferences. But I think that's changing. And I think the idea of faculty becoming more student-centric and understanding that, you know, they have to help students that they have in their classroom because it's a different demographic of student, I think has resonated. But that said, you know, the tool has to keep in mind that faculty are busy and have a lot of students to teach. And so one of the things you do is you give them a system for doing surveys that's, you know, more user-friendly, that allows them to navigate the tool very easily. And we've, because of the different nuances we've taken in how we actually address that, we've had faculty adoption rates in the 90%. One of the interesting things we do that I think is so key is we close the loop, right? And so every faculty member, when they're first using the system, because it is user-friendly, I think enjoys that aspect. But if they start alerting the school about a particular student and they don't see anything happening, then they're going to be discouraged and not continue to use the tool. And so what Starfish does is it informs the faculty member of the actions that were taken and that resolution has occurred. And I think that in itself has created a much stronger environment for faculty to be satisfied with the tool. And when you talk about the advisors, and we were talking earlier about, you know, 500, 1,500 to one student to advisor ratios, they love the fact that they have a tool that will provide automated, and our system does this, automated system generated alerts, as well as kudos, which is one of the things the faculty members like as well, right? So it's not just about telling students, you know, things that are putting them at risk, but it's also telling them about when there are things happening with them that are going really well. And all of this activity, again, engaging the student, letting them know that people are paying attention and complimenting for what they're doing, but also helping them to know that, hey, if you just take certain actions, you can correct your path. Those things are things that advisors no longer have to do manually, and they don't have to spend that much time, and they can focus on a fraction of the students in their ratio, which I think has made them more efficient and obviously just satisfied more students on campus. And at the end of the day, this really is about satisfying the student on campus.
Yeah. Right now we're focusing on our first and second year students, and our professional advisors, they really do appreciate Starfish. And I think using giving out kudos is great. It's funny though, when you get a student that says, "Oh, I got another kudo," you know, well, they don't know what it is. I think it's a, they used to think of it as a chocolate bar, and that happens.
That's true. We actually had some students who, on the other side, call it star snitch as opposed to starfish. Right. So we get everything.
Right. Interesting. I don't know if I don't have any data on this, but it takes a while for faculty to adopt new technologies. And even faculty, you know, we've been using Blackboard here for years, but not as many faculty as I would like use the grade book to the grade center to the optimum. You know, they might post their midterm grades and their final grades, but I would think you would see, once they appreciate the connection with the LMS, that they would, you know, at least if I was teaching, I would make sure that every assessment I did was in the LMS and to be able to take advantage. Do you see sort of a change in the utilization of these, of the LMS?
I think we have. Yeah, it's, you know, one of those things that we always say, you know, this is a 70% a people project, 30% a system project with Starfish. And so I think you're right in highlighting that you have to work on the people. And so one of the things I think we've advised all of our clients on is this idea that you have to have a plan and you have to have a sense of urgency around how you're going to accomplish what you need to do in order to improve student success on your campus. And that includes this idea of making sure faculty appreciate that the more and earlier you can intervene on behalf of a student, the more likely it is that that student is going to be retained and be successful. And so, you know, it's funny you talk about, you know, using the grade book. It's, and it's really about, the, you know, not waiting to the midterm, because, frankly, the midterm is too late.
Too late. Yep.
And so we've been asking most of our faculty by the second or third week that they are already doing a survey and providing information on the students. But also, the more information they can put in the LMS, obviously, the more system-generated activity we can on those students, the more, the higher the impact we'll have. But we have one school in particular where we saw the retention rate for students drive up to 85% for advisors and faculty that were using Starfish, and it was as low as 73% for those who were not using Starfish.
Oh, yeah.
So
significant.
Significant. And the message is there. It's just you have to continually drive that message at your academic faculty so that they stay in tune with the idea that they make the difference as well as the students themselves.
Well, Howard, this has been a great discussion. I certainly learned a lot myself, and I want to be respectful of your time. Is there any final words you might have about future plans or something that's around the corner that you can tell us about?
Well, I will say that I wanted to just take a moment to thank the Starfish team. The folks here have been working really hard to accomplish so much in such a short period of time. As I said, I've only been here 14 months. During that time, we've been given an award by the Complete College of America folks for our work on Guided Pathways. We've had the California Community College Academic Senate endorse us for our work on Guided Pathways. We've been really been getting recognized for the fact that we are staying holistic, that we are one of the few, actually the only company that can get the implementation done quickly, which we found to be extremely important in this process. And so what we keep working on is this idea, you should expect to hear this more and more from us, is that when we come in, we want quick impact. And so we want to get the schools up and running in just a few weeks on our platform, because we believe that if you have to wait a year to do that, then obviously that's another year of students who will fall out of your institution. So that, I think, is where we want to stay: comprehensive, quick impact, and making sure that the analytics that we continue to get out of the system provides actionable work for the advisor, who obviously is overly burdened as it is in their clients and their student to ratio. So those are things you should expect to see more from us in the future. And, you know, we're excited about the path that we're taking.
Howard, again, thank you so much for spending the time with me, and I'll be looking for you online.
Sounds good. Thanks for the time.
So that's the program for today. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Howard Bell about Starfish. Please do check them out if you're interested in a retention solution for your institution. Stay tuned for Aaron Stark's piano piece called Run. Till next time, have a great week.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.